2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to share with you today for the sake of the gospel, testimonies of a faithful servant. And the final testimony I share in just a few minutes is this testimony found in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at the last three words in verse 1. We faint not. Look at the second set of three words in verse 16. We faint not. A little part of the background of my own involvement in 2 Corinthians 4. This study came at a very difficult time in my life when, quite frankly, I wondered how I could survive another day in the Christian ministry to which my Lord had called me without becoming a quitter, without fainting, without dropping out, without throwing in the towel, without blowing the whistle and just saying, this is it. I thought a lot of that time about the time of Elijah. Elijah was a courageous man in many, many ways, but in one part of his life, he became a very chicken kind of an oriented fellow. He went off into the wilderness, hid under a tree, and said, God, I'm giving up. I'm tired. I don't like what's going on. Everything is against me. I don't have the courage to kill myself, so I'm asking you to do it for me. We could stick with Elijah a lot on that way. God came and stepped in his presence. And then you know the story of the man by the name of Paul who said this, for the sake of the gospel, this is what I do. And he went through all those kind of trials that we know well about, all those kind of rebuffs and persecutions and things of that nature. And he was going through a lot of problems with this church that he had been allowed by the Lord to bring together in Corinth. And it was a tough time. When I was going through that tough time myself, and some of you are getting ready to go through it at the closing part of this service because there's going to be a challenge put before you about what you're going to do. Are you going to quit now? Or are you going to dig in and determine to go forward with that leadership of our Lord? And it's a challenging day, and some of these kind of challenging days like this are the kind we don't really like to face. But I give to you the challenge today. This I do for the sake of the gospel. I will not quit. I will not faint. And I want to deal with that. When I read those particular truths from the life of the Apostle Paul back during the time to which I just referred, I said this to myself. I want to find out what it makes him so sure of that he doesn't faint. That's what I'm looking for. That he doesn't throw in the towel, that he doesn't give up. So I spent a lot of time in 2 Corinthians 4, and I said, Lord, could you just bring it out to me? I don't want to faint. I don't want to quit. I don't want to throw in the towel. So I summarize what I studied under four basic words. The words don't occur in the chapter, but I want to share them with you very quickly. The first thing I found about his life in this chapter was a spirit of determination. And I want you to look at it in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I thought there's got to be something in there for Bob Alderman right now. What is this determination that he looks at? I don't know how it's going to fit in your life or in your thinking or in your mind or in your heart, but there are three things there that I noted very carefully about the servant of God for the sake of the gospel who does not faint. Number one is his responsibility. See, he spelled it out very clearly. Seeing we have this ministry. That's an assignment from God. God, I didn't ask for it. You didn't ask me for permission to give it to me. You own me. You've assigned it to me. So I understand now, whether I like it or not, I've got this ministry. That's responsibility. And that's determination of recognizing responsibility. Fill in the blanks later, if you will. Certainly was the determination of his resource. As we have received mercy. I was not able to walk onto the scene and say, God, I'm going through a terrible time, but I know you and your kingdom can't afford to do without me. Look at all the personality I've got, all the training I've had, all the heritage I've received. God, if you let me faint right now, that's going to be your fault and your loss. I was trying to impress him and my wife with that kind of reason. What about the resource that I have for the ministry? What about the matter in the life of the apostle who said, you know, fainting is on my mind right now. I'm really why am I so mentally occupied with this idea that I'm probably getting to the end of my rope with this thing called the gospel? And then all of a sudden he turns and says, wait a minute. I've got the responsibility. But I also have the resource, and it does not lie in me. It is not in my academic ability. It is not in my personality. It is not in my ability to travel all over the Mediterranean world. It is not my ability to learn all of that's not my resource. If that was the resource that was necessary for not fainting and not quitting, most of us would be on the sidelines and would have been there for quite a few years ago. The resource that he looked at, as we have received mercy. Thirdly, this determination dealt with his resolve. I will put it this way. He determined his determination. And his resolve was simply this in verse 1, we faint not. That's the resolve. I don't know what all is going to come into your mind and your heart in just a little while when we are challenged with the opportunity to respond to the gospel ministry that we've had this week together. I don't know what all is going to come into your mind when the challenge is presented for decisions that ought to be made. But I challenge you to do this. Take a look at the responsibility. Renew your thinking and the resource that you will have for the work to which God called you. And make the resolve that you're determined not to faint. That's the first thing. Very, very quickly, he also had to deal with the word. The second word I give to this particular matter is the word purification. I don't need to stand up here and even give you the idea that you are not aware of how many servants of Christ, put that in quotation marks, how many servants of Christ, put it in quotation marks, that we are losing before they get into the ministry or after they get into the ministry because somewhere within the context of ministry, they lost purity. Purity of the personal life. A glance at that which should not have been seen early. A word that should not have been spoken. A step that should not have been taken. A relationship that should not have been developed. And the loss of a pure life that forever takes that individual, bruises the heart, perverts the mind, changes the element of testimony. But my Bible says that in the process of not fainting, we've got to make sure that, and I challenge you young people with this, guard the purity of the life that God has called you to have. My Bible says that he goes right on and mentions some of the things. Let me mention them, if you will. Keep a close eye on verse 2. I'm just going to list them. It's purification by mental assertion. I have renounced. And young people, if you haven't already done it, you can. I don't want you to go out and look at all the kind of things or study all the things or get acquainted with all of the things that you know are on the other side of the fence from godly living. But you need to take this step with that mental assertion. All of that is off limits for now and forever. You see it in your Bible, verse 2. I have renounced the hidden things of darkness. A lot of young people today and a lot of old people in Christian ministry, Christian life, have not understood the renouncing that is a mental decision out of a heart for God that just says that's on the back shelf and in the trash pile. I'll have nothing to do with it. I hope you can fill in all the blanks on this. Mental assertion. Number two. I have renounced this matter of an impure life by physical behavior. I do not walk in craftiness. You can make up all your cute little excuses for getting on the wrong side of the street when you're walking down Porno Alley. Be careful. I have not walked in craftiness. Number three, I have exercised biblical integrity. Still in verse 2. I do not handle the word of God deceitfully. I don't look into the Bible and try to find a reason for looking at the wrong things, thinking the wrong thoughts, going the wrong places, developing the wrong relationships. I will not handle the word of God deceitfully. And number four, under the matter of purification, I will, in verse 2, I will manifest the truth. And he puts it right in plain English. but by, excuse me, he spoke Greek, but I'm speaking English, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. What was the first word I used? D-E-T-E-R. Hurry, I'm short of time. Determination. What's the second word? Third word right now, identification. That's where he picks it up in verse 3. Number one, he identifies the problem of the blind. He's well aware of the fact that God has called us to bring light to blind people. Number two, he identifies the provision of light, and that's in verse 4. And I want to remind you, when you get out into Christian ministry, or you're already in it, and when you start thinking of these particular matters, and I don't know how many hundreds of pastors I have tried to help, and I don't know how many hundreds have tried to help me either. But, you know, you get to this idea and say, well, you know, I could really be doing a good job if these people weren't so blind. Listen, if they weren't blind, you wouldn't need to do a good job. One of the best job security positions that you have as a child of God is that people are blind and still need somebody like you to bring light. Don't fuss about them. Just understand who they are and why our Lord has called us. So the identification process of the servant of Christ is, okay, I know that the people are blind, but I also know that God has provided the light. And you can study that through so much of the rest. And you don't have to come up with a new book in order to change the world. You just get back to the old book and you realize that God has said, as he said to his apostles, I have sent you to blind people so you can take light to them. That's a beautiful opportunity. Identify those resources. And then the third one that fits so well under this matter of identification is the privilege of the servant. If you can look, may look at it in verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ. You see, that's one of the main cores of Appalachian Bible College, the core foundation, the core belief, the core expectation. And if you follow through after verse 5, go down through the next few verses, you can see some of the simple ways that our Lord has called us to be servants for Christ. He's not calling us into a complicated life. You may look at all of these things that are coming into your mind and your heart, and you're saying, okay, what decision am I going to make today? It's too complicated. No, it's not. It's not complicated at all. Read the book. Understand what our Lord wants his servants to identify about the ministry to which we have called and the ministry from which we will not faint. It's in the book. So just get back into the book and spend a lot of time with it. Now, the fourth word I share with you today is the word expectation. And it's a key word. If you will look at it in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That is your proper expectation for the job that you think is beyond your ability. It lands in the court of being in the ability of God. And here is the expectation of the faithful servant. I'm going to mention four of them, and the fourth one has three subpoints. Follow quickly, if you will. Number one, we must, as we say yes to the call of Christ, have the expectation that the excellency of the power is of God, not of us. When I knew God was calling me into Christian ministry, I looked toward heaven and I said, you got to be kidding. I was thinking that he was calling me because of my extreme natural human ability. So if he was calling me on that basis, I was right. You got to be kidding. But he said, Alderman, I'm not calling you because you're you. I'm calling you because I'm me. And that's the expectation, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. The second expectation, to die in order that Jesus may be manifested in us. That's verse 10. The third expectation, that the ministry, though for the sake of others, is for the glory of God through Christ. That's verse 14 and 15. And the fourth expectation is that our commitment to the ministry is not based. Now watch these matters upon which it's not based. Verse 16, it is not based on what the flesh fields. You can read it in your Bible. Number two, our commitment to ministry is not based upon what the eye sees. That's the E-Y-E. That's verse 17 and 18. And number three, our commitment to this ministry is not based on what time measures. That's verse 18, the last part of it. For the sake of the gospel, I faint not. I refuse to throw in the towel. I refuse to sign off with God's calling upon my life. Let's head there. And let's understand the foundation that God has built with all of his solidarity, the rock of ages. And he has equipped us to understand the essentials of never being a quitter as a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. This I do, and do not faint for the sake of the gospel. As we move into our time of challenge and decision making, and then as we move out of this service into the time when we will be attacked, ridiculed, and rebuffed because of the decisions we've made, I leave you with one thing. I faint not. That's our prayer. Father, we are grateful today for the power of your word and the purpose of your teaching. We are thankful for the presence of your spirit and the truth of your word. And we are thankful, Father, that those who've come before us have been found faithful, not fainting, not quitting. And we are grateful today, Father, that we have the joy of being a part of your non-fainting servants. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.